Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Paul Charchian, he's our guy, and he's going to be my, not roommate, but he's going to be my tour guide this weekend.
Well, if I play my cards right.
Take you out, get you liquored up at Manny's.
You're a good-looking man. Real soft, delicate features. They're real feminine. Maybe throw a little rouge on you.
I'll get staked up.
You're on the wagon. I'm not knocking you off the wagon. I can tell you that much.
It's not my fault you're back on the wagon.
It's off the wagon.
Well, in the old days, how do you think they got the alcohol from town to town?
I don't know.
On a wagon.
This can be the best steak dinner you've had in your life.
Looking forward to it.
You want that cooked? Run to a crisp or bloody as hell.
Bloody as hell, and oh yeah, look at this vanilla coat.
You know when you get a T-bone or a porterhouse, the big side of that steak is basically a strip, and the little side of that is basically like a fillet.
That's what it is.
So
it's a spider more than it is a snake.
They use one bull. They sires every single steak.
Stop
and the bull's from Chicago.
Chris Dunn?
Bam! Chris Dunn!
That is the best steak you've had in your life. I'm going to mention three places. Luger, RPM Steak in Chicago, and Joe's Steak and Seafood in Chicago. Those are my top three.
I've only been to Joe's.
Luger's in what, Brooklyn? There's a framed, it's beautifully matted and framed, but it's how to give the Heimlich maneuver. I am not kidding.
When you're having your porterhouse for two, that's going to come in handy.
I'm not kidding.
You pay till I tell you don't have to pay no more. And don't give me that face. You know how many tabs, how many dinners I picked up over the years? Richie Aprile, fat Jerry Anastasia. Those guys killed me at Benihana's. And forget it, they want a steak. I put a new wing on Peter Luger's. What about a plane?
I hear you, Tone, but that was before inflation.
Whatever.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
We hear the opens twice a show, but it feels really like it's been a lot of, it's felt good. A lot of Tony Soprano lately. Danny, keep him coming. He delights me. I don't care what he's talking about. If he's talking about golf or gambling or paying for dinners, just keep those coming. And it's just beautifully woven, getting Parkins, not knowing the difference between a spider and a snake. I love Charge's explanation of what a porterhouse is. It's kind of like the strip. It's kind of like the fillet. No, not kind of. That's what it is.
It was awesome by Charge yesterday. I mean, I think all three of our heads went to the exact same place because Tanny and I said it exactly at the same time. Then you mouthed it to Tanny, and all of us were just kind of doing that and knew exactly what was coming in the opening bit today.
Yeah, that was yesterday when we all looked at each other. Today was when you gave us Tidesman.
Tidesman. I stand by Tidesman.
We love
Anytime
it.
Anytime we get two guys on the Bears that are both Alabama alums, then they're going to be Tidesman, fellow Tidesman. Fellow Tidesman. Roll damn Tidesman. I'm stand by that one.
You're great. I love Gina too. From the movie. It was a soundbite from the movie he just played.
Sure
the
it was.
A woman played an actress named Gina. That's she was hot, like Cal said. The actor Seth Rogen.
She was a lovely woman.
All right, so we have Cubs and Phillies continuing tonight at Wrigley Field, and Javier Baez is in the starting lineup. He will hit cleanup.
El Mago, the Magic Man.
The Magic Man. Let's hear that in its entirety, and then we'll give Theo a spin, if you don't mind, because Zach Zaidman really delivered after Baez dramatically delivered last night. So sitting in for Pat Hughes, who's got a little bit of time off this week, here's Zach bringing it in the bottom of the ninth.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the Magic Man. Mag magnifico tonight. First pitch, slider away, base knock, Cubs win. That's how you do it.
That is how you do it. Well done, gentlemen. Very nice.
That's how you do it needs to become like a Ron Coomer off-season podcast or something. And it's just Ron Coomer walking around the house fixing things.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
That's mumbling. How you do it. Fix the change a light bulb, yeah. Fix a light fixture.
That's how you do it.
To get it out, turn it counterclockwise.
That's how you do it.
There it is.
Got a scratch on your car door. This is how you remove that scratch without paying a hefty penny. That's how you do it.
Theo Epstein was with us first hour of the show, and with the Phillies series starting the way it did the other night with Jake Arrieta, star of 16 and beyond, opposing Yu Darvish, it felt big. Bryce Harper in town, first time in a Phillies uniform, and I mentioned to Theo, I think a lot of these series already have felt big this season. The Dodgers series at the beginning of the year when they were getting things turned around, and then series against divisional opponents St. Louis and Milwaukee on back-to-back weekends, winning both of those series, both of them resulting in first place in the division. And then Washington felt big because of Scherzer. And it feels big this week, too. And I asked Theo, is that way for you, or does it always feel this way?
You know, I think that's just a function of being in the National League in 2019. You know, if you look at it, there's only a couple teams that are out of it in the NL. We got so many good teams in the National League that it's going to seem like big series week after week after week. And you know, the American League kind of the opposite. You know, there's only a handful of teams really in contention over there, so they probably don't have quite the same feeling on a regular basis like we do. So it's good. It's just a reminder of you know, how important all these games are and how well we're going to have to play and how consistently well we're going to have to play to get where we want to go in 2019.
He had the walk-off hit last night. It's only at bat we've seen the last 2 days from him. How's Javi feeling? How soon is he going to be returning to the lineup regularly?
Yeah, he's feeling good. He dodged a bullet there, or it's just a contusion, nothing structural. So I know he said he was feeling good last night. They're going to check him out once he gets to the ballpark today and hope that he can be in the lineup. I know Joe's got two lineups, one with him in there and one with him out of there, so we got our fingers crossed.
Theo, Javi seems to have set a tone on this club, and not this year, but going back a year or two in terms of aggressive base running. And I love an organization that uses the credo, let's put pressure on the defense and force them to make mistakes. But has your ball club almost been a little bit too adventurous on the bases for its own good?
I don't think so. You know, I think there's a cost-benefit analysis with every decision that you make on the bases. And, you know, it's really, really hard to be aggressive and be perfect. You know, it's hard to be aggressive and never make any outs, take the extra base every time and not make any outs on the bases. So I think, you know, we're pushing the envelope a little bit, and the goal is to do that and still play good percentage baseball. But I think, you know, the outstanding base runners on the club are, as you said, setting a good example. That's Javi and Bryant and Hayward are doing a great job setting the tone there. We've got a few runaway trains on the bases from time to time. We're trying to work past that. But on the whole, I think it was the case last year too. I think we led the league in first to thirds last year, and that stuff adds up. Obviously, you never want to make outs on the bases. Your 27 outs are your most valuable asset offensively, and you have to protect them. But I like the good aggressive mindset. We stole two runs on the bases last night, and it shows you how that can lead to an important win.
So much of it at the finish of base running, when you make the slide, is improvisation. Is base running a difficult skill to coach?
Brian Butterfield's one of the best in baseball at coaching base running and aggressive base running. I think it's something that can be learned. You obviously can't teach speed, although you know with running mechanics and that type of thing, you can't improve it along the margins, but you can't teach speed, but you can really coach base running and have guys be more aware. Some of it's instinct, some of it is hardwired, but you can make guys more aware and teach proper technique. And I think he's done a really, really good job with that. You mentioned finishing plays. Because of replay, that's a whole new art. It used to be you just kind of get there. If you beat the ball, they call you safe. And these days, you have to really you know, find a way to evade the tag. You have to find a way to maintain contact with the bag and the zero margin for error. So that's an entirely new discipline.
You mentioned the instinct part there. Seems like a lot recently, maybe it's just, I don't know, recency bias in your head a little bit of it, but a lot of sliding going on into first base with different members of this team. Is that something that the front office frowns upon or they encourage?
No, I mean, we'd probably prefer guys run through the bag 99.9% of the time. I think, you know, you get there a little quicker that way, safer that way. Every now and then, you'll have a play where you're trying to avoid a tag or you know, you have to contort your body and maybe go in feet first as you avoid a tag. But beyond that, it's safest to go in standing up. But that's just one of those things. Instinct sometimes takes over, and guys end up going to feet first.
Cubs boss Theo Epstein with us on your home for Cubs baseball, Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Dan McNeil, Nick Shepkowski, Shepper sitting in for Danny Parkins today. Theo, when we sat with you out at Sloan Park, what seems like 3-4 months ago now, because it has been about 3 months, you were just beaming about the potential for this veteran staff and how much you were looking forward to it. Have they even exceeded your expectations?
The rotation, yes. It's been really good and really consistent. I'm proud of the guys. I feel like almost to a man, they all challenged themselves in spring training in some form or another, whether it was developing you know, a third pitch like Q did with his changeup, or you know, Kyle Hendricks finding a way to try to get off to a better start and sort of get locked in earlier in the season than he did years prior, and he went out early to spring training to try to make that happen. Every guy has challenged himself in some form or another, and I think made real improvements. And you know, Darvish is taking a little bit longer to come around. Of late, he seems to be turning the corner and pitching with a more aggressive approach, and that's been good to see. But overall, yeah, I mean, this is a really established veteran starting five that's been setting the right tone for this ball club and living up to our expectations so far. We're happy about the work they put in.
With a brutal spring we've had here, does it make good or bad? Does it make it tougher to evaluate what you've seen this team perform as at home?
I don't know. I mean, it is a factor. It's obviously the same for both teams every time you go out there. I will say, because of the weather, Wrigley's been playing like an extreme pitcher's park so far this year. That'll obviously change as the weather warms up. But, you know, it's punished our hitters in some way. At home, they've kind of lunched up on the road a little bit. And it's, maybe it's given our pitchers a little bit bigger margin for error as they find a rhythm. So I don't think it poses too great an evaluation challenge, but you have to factor it in when you look at the totality of what the club has done. I think, you know, just from they're all human beings and handling this brutal weather night in, night out, I know it seems like something that should come with the territory because they're professionals, and it does, but I think, you know, there's been no complaining. They're doing an outstanding job of, you know, showing up to play each and every night, despite the conditions, and I think that bodes well. It's certainly more enjoyable to play in the summer months at Wrigley, and that's right around the corner.
Theo, how valuable might it be that you didn't panic and bail on Tyler Chatwood after one bad year?
Well, I don't think, you know, we were going to bail on him. We were just frustrated with last year as he was, and he deserves a lot of credit. You know, he's the one who deserves the credit, not us. So you instead of crawling into a hole and pouting about the way last year went, he went home determined to fix it, did a ton of work on his own, connected early with Tommy Hotovy, and made some pretty fundamental adjustments with elements of his mechanics and approach. And he's been really good from spring training on. You know, he's played a huge part in a couple of those 15-inning wins that we had, and been an important guy for us who is earning more and more trust, and look for him to take an increasingly important role as we go on. So the stuff has been electric, and he's found a way to be more consistently in the strike zone. So we're excited about what that means for his future with us.
Another guy that's pitching seemingly as well as he has since you've traded for him, Jose Quintana, dealing again last night. What do you see? What's different with him this year?
You know, the biggest factor is really the development of his third pitch, the changeup. He became pretty predictable last year with just the fastball curve combination, and that came back to bite him third time through the order. So you'd see a pattern of some good first four or five innings out of him, and then as that third time through the order rolled around, guys had seen his full arsenal. He wasn't able to execute the changeup, didn't have confidence, and it got away from it, and the teams did some damage against him the third time through. So we talked to him about that at the end of last year. It's one thing to talk about, it's another to have a plan. He really dedicated the spring training to finding a grip that he was comfortable with and using it. You know, he forced himself to throw three, four, five changeups every inning in spring training. And by the time we got out of Arizona, he had real confidence in it, and he's used it quite a bit. And the thing about his changeup is it makes his other pitches better too. So he's just commanding three quality pitches really well right now. He's establishing in and up and in on righty's hands really well, which opens up both sides of the plate. He's got his curveball for strike just about strikes just about whenever he wants it, and he can finish he can open or finish with the changeup when he needs to, and picking his spots with it. So really good execution, and the third pitch has been a big difference for him.
So what keeps you up at night, Theo, if anything, right now? You got to be feeling like the plane has been steadied, and you've managed to navigate your way as an organization through some tricky public relations issues, and those things seem to be settling in. I don't know if it'll ever be business as usual with Addison Russell, but what keeps you up at night? What's bugging you about your club, if anything?
No, I mean, I think it's our job to stay up at night thinking about all the things that could go wrong, and the quality of our division, the quality of our league itself keeps you up at night, because there's an understanding of how well we're going to have to play all year and how little margin for error there is to win the division and then move through the National League. So you look at all the different areas that could go wrong or that might need improvement. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the rotation performing as well as it is and our position group off largely to good starts, you know, you look at the bullpen and, you know, they've done, considering that we've been without our ninth inning guy and our eighth inning guy, this bullpen has done a really nice job. You know, we're third in the National League in ERA. We've got, you know, C-Sheck, Brock, Kinsler, Ryan, and Chatwood all performing at a high level. But and they deserve a lot of credit for us riding the ship after that first road trip. But I think you're always looking to make the pen better, and this is a year where that's pretty clear that we're going to be looking to do that. And we've done it each year, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18. We always add from outside at some point in the bullpen. So, you know, we're just looking for ways to, you know, to make a championship caliber bullpen at some point during the year and ride it down the stretch. It's when the game matters most. So that's an obvious area of focus, but I don't want to overlook the job that the guys have done without, you know, without our ninth inning guy and our eighth inning guy at this point. It's been a heck of a job so far, but it's an area that we want to continue to shore up.
Roughly 2 weeks from the draft coming and going, once that passes, likelihood of adding a free agent, is that something that pops up on the radar?
Well, there's not too many free agents out there, and, you know, I think trades are probably more likely than free agents, but you never know. Anyone who's still out there, you're obviously, they can help you, you're engaged with them. It's just trying to find a way to make it work. Obviously, it's been well documented that we weren't that active in free agency this winter, and there are a number of reasons for that, and those reasons still apply. But, you know, you don't want to look past any opportunities. It's just a matter of making it work. But, you know, that said, typically June and July is a time for where the trade market really comes into focus. But as you do that, you know, you keep in mind there's talent out there that's available without having to give up prospects and free agency. You'd love to find a way to make that work. It's not going to be easy.
Theo, last thing I have for you today. I heard a commentary earlier today from Bryant Gumbel in which he admitted, this is a get-off-my-lawn commentary about where baseball has gone today. And, you know, in the offseason, I don't mind those conversations about pace of play and who's watching baseball, who's not. During the season, man, that for me emotionally is a real disconnect. The season is off to an amazing start, just like it has for many years. Guys do amazing things. If some people don't want to watch, the hell with them. Let's have the conversation in the off season. How do you feel about it? Because you hear it a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with either approach. You know, I see where you're coming from. There's, you know, this is a really entertaining ball club, I believe, that we have, and it's going to be a really engaging season. So that's more than enough baseball to consume, I think, for most people. But at the same time, you know, if people want to talk about why we haven't quite captured the hearts and minds of the younger generation, I think that's something that's important to consider in the bigger picture. You know, we want to, those of us who love baseball, like I know you do, you want to ensure that this is our national pastime and the most prominent sport in our country for decades and decades and decades from now. And, you know, if the reality is that we're not capturing young fans as well as we could, then, you know, I think maybe behind the scenes, looking at some ways to make small adjustments to the game to make it more action-packed and more appealing to young fans makes sense. But I agree, it doesn't have to dominate the conversation. A lot of times the best tweaks to the game are the subtle ones, ones you don't even notice, but make improvements. So it's still the game that we know and love, but it's maybe a little bit even more entertaining, more action-packed, and slowly but surely you capture the younger generation to ensure baseball's place going forward.
Theo, just an opinion thing here. A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball this week declared that Wilson Contreras was in the 1% of athletes in all of baseball and was the best athlete on the Cubs. Do you agree with his claim?
Well, I think if you look at it as sort of athlete for position, then yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine a more athletic catcher than Wilson Contreras. Some of the things that he can do behind the plate and the way he bounces around back there and jumps on slow rollers. And he's pretty spectacular athletically. The combination of strength and quickness and twitch is pretty amazing back there. You know, as far as a pure athlete, I don't know, maybe we'll have to have a superstars type competition and see who can scale the obstacle course and row the boat quickest, and you can declare your best athlete on the Cubs.
Theo Epstein joins us on a regular basis right here on your home for Cubs Baseball, Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have Cubs and Phillies for you again tonight at Wrigley Field on what finally starting to feel a little bit like summer out there today, Shep.
Yeah, finally. It's about damn time. Also have Cubs tickets for you before the end of the hour and a chance at $1,000, so stay tuned.
Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, really well. He connects so well with the players. He connects so well with his coaches. He's a big communicator, so that's one of his biggest strengths. Is this thing going to happen overnight? Absolutely not. He knew that coming in here. We had one of the best defenses in the NFL, and he knows what kind of challenge that is because there's expectations not just from the media and from the fan base, but from his own players. They know what they did under Vic's regime, and so. And his coaching staff. So I think that's going to be really neat to watch organically happen. But there's got to be some patience involved there. So that's what we'll continue to talk through.
That's Bears boss Matt Nagy talking about his new defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, as the Bears get together for workouts this week up in Lake Forest. They had a fun day Monday watching coaches try to run sprints and doing weird games with inanimate objects and just having chuckles and just having a riot, and now they're learning terminology, and Chuck Pagano is safely ensconced in Lake Forest as the defensive mastermind.
Yeah, it's the short summer camp. Monday was the icebreaker day that you're playing the ball game, tossing it to each other, answering the question, finding out about your new teammates, and now it's get to work on Tuesday and Wednesday and get after it a little bit and meet your new defensive coordinator, meet some of the new faces that are going to be seen around Alice Hall as key members of this thing that's hopefully one of the best defenses and best teams in the NFL again.
So much we respect from the Bears defensively last season. Lot of reasons for that. I shouldn't say we all, but people I listen to, people around here in this little insular world in which we live, treated the Fangio successor job like it was a non-story, like it didn't matter because we think that highly of the personnel whomever was going to be succeeding Vic was inheriting.
Well, and it's also one of those, like, sport to sport, it's different. Coaching matters more, I would say, football-wise, than it does, for the most part, what a manager does in a baseball game. For the most part, in a basketball game, it's more about your star power. In a football game, I think that the defenses you call, the personnel that you decide to go with, those decisions, they impact the game, I feel, a heck of a lot more than what a coach actually brings to an NBA playoff game or what a manager brings to one of 162 regular season baseball games. Yeah, we look out and say, that was a dumb move, that was a costly decision. But naturally, the coach is having an impact on the outcome of things. I think the football, it's significantly greater than any of the other major sports.
You've been listening to Doug Plank, who an hour ago said coaches cost games, a little bit more than that, hour and a half ago, said coaches cost more games than players do. I'm not so sure I agree with that, but your kindred spirits, your former safeties. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15 for playoff and ticket information. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Let's hear from the Bears' brand-new defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, answered lots of questions today in Lake Forest.
What's the biggest impression on you about working with Khalil?
Again, I mean, you got a phenomenal athlete, all that stuff. He's a great football player, but he's a better teammate, and he's a better person. He doesn't say much, but actions speak louder than words. And again, he's a great worker. He's a smart guy. He picks things up. He's not going to say much, but out here on the football field, he's going to lead by example.
What do you think the prospects are for somebody like Roquan Smith in his second year?
Again, you talk about football character and you talk about football IQ. We know the measurables. He's one of the brightest, smartest guys I've been around for just a second-year player. I mean, he's phenomenal. And again, he's very quiet. He doesn't say much. He'd be a great poker player because you can never read, you know, what's going on inside his head, and doesn't show a lot of emotion. But he's absorbing everything. He takes everything in, and guy doesn't make mistakes. And out on the football field, he does a lot of things that you can't coach.
Chuck, do you see any obvious comparisons personnel-wise between this group and the group you ran back in Baltimore?
There's a ton. Again, I go back to, you know, the football character. We had a bunch of guys that love football and love playing for one another. The football IQ is very, very high. These guys study the game. They know the game. And they spend a lot of time with each other studying the game. And then just, you know, from a, athletic standpoint, personnel standpoint, the team that, you know, Coach Nagy and Ryan have put together front to back. I mean, you got speed, you got athleticism, you know, at all three levels. And they work great together. They communicate really well together. So you got to have pass rushers. We got that. You got to have corners who can cover. We got that. You got to have guys that can run and hit. We've got that. So a lot of parallels there, a lot of similarities.
Chuck, when HaHa Clinton Dix is playing at his best, how will that look in your defense?
Well, again, he was Pro Bowler, my mind, you know, doesn't escape me in 2016. So he's as good as he wants to be. So he's doing a great job, like everybody else. Again, we got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go. But it seems like he's making an easy transition. He's been a part of this system. So from a terminology standpoint, there's some carryover for him, which helps him.
What skill set stands out to you with him?
Well, he's got length, you know. Again, he's got great instincts. He's got ball skills. So everything you're looking for a safety, because he can play down the box. He can play, you know, in the deep parts of the zone. So, and then you can match him up and put him on backs and tight ends and things like that. So he's got all the skill set necessary to do all those things.
Chuck, Eddie has a knack for not only turning the ball over but taking it to the house. You've been with another player in the past who's pretty good at that. I know, is it, you have to fight the urge to maybe make some comparisons, or I'm doing it for you, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Again, from a talent standpoint, very, very similar. Great instincts, got great range, great ball skills. He's only, 3 years into it, Ed has a lot more time on task, obviously, but he's got a lot of the same traits, and he loves football. He's a football junkie. And again, he's, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for a guy like that, because he, you know, when you know, you know, the defense and you know what you're doing, and then you can spend all your time, you know, figuring out the offense and being one step ahead, that's where he's got, you know, an edge on everybody. That's very similar to Reed.
Chuck Pagano earlier today in Lake Forest as the Bears have some off-season workouts. Just learning the language, just reviewing things, working out together, developing that unity. Nothing really big happens at these events. You don't win them and you don't lose them. You just have them and then you move along.
Yeah, and I think that one thing we were worried about was everyone was excited. Oh, Vic Fangio, always like hearing Vic break down the game before, what's coming this coming week. I don't know if Chuck Pagano is going to be able to break down playoff pitching matchups quite like Vic Fangio was, but he's got the football voice down. Bears fans will be comforted by that.
He does have coach voice,
he's got
right?
coach voice. He's got coach I used to yell a ton voice. There's a little bit of raspy there. Bears fans are in good hands.
How many times can you say football when you're doing a media session?
Great football IQ. Phenomenal. Phenomenal football yeah, athlete. Phenomenal football player. Football
player.
Mind.
Yeah.
Yes. He likes saying the word football.
Yeah, they do. Coaches do overuse football. Yes, they do. He's played a good football game today. Our football team played good football. They do that. They're a unique bunch of men.
Yeah, unique bunch of tidesmen. At least two of the guys, Eddie Jackson,
tidesmen,
and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix getting the reference.
So I hear a little bit of Ozzie Guillen, and I break into Tony Montana a little bit ago, and I mentioned to Tanny, Chris Tannehill. I want to watch Scarface. The version I have, however, that I DVR'd most recently is an over-the-air version, which is, yeah, now Chris is getting nervous. He's going to say it now. I'm going to have to hit the button.
No, I'm getting excited.
They add their own words. They don't beep the words. In the version he was telling me about, the beginning of the season, when Tony Montana, Al Pacino, is coming into the – when he's – before he goes to Freedom Town, he's interviewed at Immigration, and they're asking him all kinds of questions. If he's a – you know, if he's done any time in prison, he's part of Castro's group, what's going on here? And he says – they replace something that they ask him if he ate with pineapple.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Why don't you try sticking your head up your toilet? These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Name brain.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, if I got those on that version, I'm in.
I found that on the internet. I think it was like a DVD extra saying that
awesome.
They couldn't believe that they went through it and redubbed everything over. So I think it's like a standard television edited version. So I think you must have that same one.
They happened to pick one of my favorite quotes in the movie, too. This sounds like a great big chicken just waiting to get plucked.
Well, they need to go through, and they need to go every movie that has a line with that, like Slapshot, Suzanne.
Yeah.
Does pineapple instead of, yeah.
Suzanne eats pineapple.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you need. You need to just go over it every
time.
I'm
going to get a scar eating pineapple.
I think that's a new thing.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Eating. Nobody like you in a White Sox uniform in the clubhouse. Okay?
Say to him, Frank was so much better. Ethan.
I love Lame where our brain. Minds.
Let's leave Adam Eaton alone for a day, shall we?
Why?
It's like picking on kids with disabilities.
Is it?
Yeah, kind of.
He kind of asks for it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he chased his way out of town in Arizona.
I know. He's got a big list. He's not our bag anymore. Let him be somebody else's bag.
I guess, but I mean, the Sox need someone to be their bag. They need somebody to throw their dislike and their anger towards. Yeah. And even if it's Adam Eaton, miles and miles away, still catching arrows, so be it. Let him take out their aggression and anger towards the little man.
I know you guys didn't talk about this yesterday. I'm looking at the Score Twitter account right now in the DMs. The oldest DM is from Adam Eaton on March 19th of 2016 at 9:04 a.m.
He slid into the DMs, as a kid say?
He slid into the DMs of the Score Twitter account. I believe this was after something on Bruce's show. Did Bruce say something about him, or somebody said something about Adam Eaton? I think it was
so much that Bruce said something. Bruce had Adam Eaton on after the spring training 2016
right.
episode.
But you said 15, 2015. No, this is 2016. This
okay,
is
that
March
had,
19th.
That had to have been the show where
with Drake LaRoche.
Yeah,
right. So this is the DM from Adam Eaton. Last time I come on your show, I gave you plenty, and that's what you put up. I'm done with you guys. But he misspelled put, and then 20 minutes later, he corrected it. Put.
Nice of him.
That's what you out up. I'm done with you guys. 20 minutes later, asterisk put.
Grammar Richard. He caught himself and he fixed himself.
How's he going to make people mad eating pineapple?
Yes, because it was Bruce Levine's fault that Adam Eaton looked and saw a 14-year-old or whatever he was as a team leader. What the hell's the matter with you?
Mark Grody will be here with us in a few minutes at Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Adam Eaton was not so great to me, so my perspective is much different than yours. He was a guy that was a tool in my book.
In 2014, my dad passed away. And he found out, he came over to me and like wanted to let me know that he was thinking about me. So
yeah, that's great.
There are two sides to Adam Eaton. He was great to me, not to David Haugh.
Well, I'm not exactly on an island here, Chuck. I think that's a very nice story, but I do believe that there definitely are two sides to the guy.
Pillow fight, Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports and David Haugh this morning on the virtues or lack thereof. Regards, one Adam Eaton. He's definitely not a tidesman. This hour of the show is brought to you by Burris Equipment. Visit them at burrisequipment.com.
I believe he was an Ohio guy or a Michigan guy. One of them. He's a huge hockey guy, whichever it was, for Adam Eaton. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is poem. Text poem to 72881 by the end of the hour. Boop. Again, the keyword is poem to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win.
Frost.
Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Who's your favorite poem?
Tickets laying around? Let me know.
Rudyard Kipling. Ugh.
We do have tickets, Wani. Now that you ask it, be caller number 10 to the Scores Contest line, 312-591-6700. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Nye Mets, my favorite squadron, on June 20th, 312-591-6700. Right now, those tickets courtesy of the Score.
Mark Grody here.
Hi, Mark.
What's happening? So Adam Eaton, while we're doing this, Adam Eaton.
That'll do it.
Not a big fan of mine either.
Why?
No. Really quick, I got 30
Someone
seconds?
Someone doesn't like Mark Grody.
Somebody did not on one day like Mark Grody. So the famous show where he released the information about Drake LaRoche being a leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, Shane was just sharing the DMs that he slid into.
So wait, I was part of that show. I co-hosted with Bruce that day. We were at Cubs. This is 2016, right?
Yes. Okay. Pre-2016, yep.
So leading up to those questions, I don't even remember the questions I had been asking, but I was pressing him on a couple of issues. And after we got out of the interview, he told Bruce, he said, I'm never coming on again because of that partner of yours, because of that Grody guy. I didn't like the questions he was asking. I didn't like his attitude. So,
wow, and so Bruce knows how I feel.
Yeah, so it had nothing to do with Drake. I regret not pressing him further on Drake. Neither me nor Bruce pressed that issue. So, yeah, shame on me. But, yeah, he Adam Eaton, not a fan of mine.
Also caught in the line of fire of one Adam Eaton. He's Mark Grody.
So people who don't like Mark Grody, very short list. You got Adam Eaton. Is Tom Tunney on that list?
He hates me, too. It's going to be up your butt, mister.
Yeah, he's not a fan.
They loved him in rehab. I inherited his classmates, Grody's, and they all said, he does these impressions. You'd think it was the real people.
Thought they loved Tom Tunney in rehab is what you were getting at.
Oh, gross. So am I guessing correctly 23 minutes of stream of consciousness Bears tonight for Mike Immuno?
Yes, it will be. Okay. I have 6 Bears cuts for my day at the Bears organized team activity today that I will play for you, and some Bears news.
Okay, we got a roll. Thanks to Theo Epstein for joining us today. John Morosi, also part of the mix. Bears safety Eddie Jackson was here today. So was former Bears safety Doug Plank. Nick Shepkowski, thank you for working with me. Let's do it again tomorrow, short form, after Cubs post.
All right, sounds good. Don't have to twist my arm.
Then I'll go fishing.
There you go.
Chris Tannehill. Yes, I'm off to the 6-1-2. Oh, I love rolling through Wisconsin. 24 hours from now. 94. Coming across the state. Somebody find me a Gruyere or I'm going to go nuts. Thanks to Shane Reardon for helping out as well. Grody's next with something about something. I'm Mac and I'm Tail Lights. Good night.
That's how you do it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.